The Wrong House. Two men ran quietly towards the house. One of them carried a small suitcase. When they reached the porch, they stopped and listened. The night was dark and silent. One of the men took out a bunch of keys. They entered. By the light of the torch, they examined the room. It was a large living room. The furniture was covered. Dust lay over everything. One of the men spoke. "Well, Blackie," he said, "looks as if the family is away on holiday." They searched the house. There was no doubt. The family was away. Hasty Hogan and Blackie Burns were in luck. Only once in the past 10 days had their luck failed them. It had been soon after they made their big robbery in that town on the coast. Blackie, who had been driving the car, ran over a policeman. They had abandoned the car and run for their lives. And now they were here, in a strange town without a car. But they had the suitcase and the $300,000 in it. "We have to get a car," said Hogan. "We can't steal one. It's too dangerous. We have to buy one." "But what are we going to do with the suitcase?" said Burns. "Hide it right here until we get a car." And so they hid the suitcase. They carried it down to the coal cellar and buried it in the pile of coal. Just before dawn, they stepped out. "Say, Blackie," Hogan remarked, "the name of the gentleman we're visiting is Mr. Samuel W. Rogers." Shortly after the automobile showroom opened, Hogan and Burns had their car. They stopped the car a short distance from the house. Hogan got out and walked towards the house. 50 yards from the house, he stopped. The windows were open. The family had returned. Hogan thought quickly. "Quick," he said to Burns, "let's find a telephone." 10 minutes later, Hogan was consulting a telephone directory. Yes, there it was. Samuel W. Rogers, Plainview, 6329. A moment later, he was talking to Mr. Rogers. "Hello, is this Mr. Rogers? Mr. Samuel Rogers?" "Yes, this is Mr. Rogers." Hogan cleared his throat. "Mr. Rogers," he said in a sharp official tone, "this is police headquarters. I am Simpson, Sergeant Simpson, of the Detective Division." "Yes, yes," came the reply. The chief of police, you know," Hogan said, "has ordered me to get in touch with you. He's sending me out with one of our men to see you." "Am I in trouble of some kind?" asked Mr. Rogers. "No, no, nothing like that. But I have something of importance to talk to you about." "Very well," said Mr. Rogers. "And, Mr. Rogers," Hogan continued, "please keep quiet about this. Don't say anything to anybody." Hogan explained his idea to Burns. Within 10 minutes, Sergeant Simpson and Detective Johnson were speaking to Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers was a small man. He was nervous, a badly frightened man. Hogan told Mr. Rogers the whole story. Mr. Rogers was delighted to be of help. Together, He and Hogan dug up the suitcase. They took it to the living room and opened it. All the money was there, safe. "And now, Mr. Rogers," Hogan announced in his best official manner, "Johnson and I must run along. The chief wants a report. We have to catch the rest of the robbers. I'll be in touch." He picked up the suitcase and rose. Burns rose. Mr. Rogers also rose. The three men walked to the door. Mr. Rogers opened it. "Come on in, boys," he said pleasantly, and in walked three men. Men in police uniform. "What does this mean, Mr. Rogers?" asked Hogan. "It's quite simple," said Mr. Rogers. "I am the chief of police."